Chapter 55. Portentous manner obliges me to consult you, and to beg you will not communicate what I am about to say to your wife. Apostrophe, Tibbs acquiesced, wondering in his own mind what the deuce the other could have done, and imagining that at least he must have broken the best decanters. Mr. Kelton resumed, I am placed, Mr. Tibbs, in rather an unpleasant situation. Apostrophe, Tibbs looked at Mr. Septimus Hicks, as if he thought Mr. H.S. being in the immediate vicinity of his fellow boarder might constitute the unpleasantness of his situation. But as he did not exactly know what to say, he merely ejaculated the monosyllable or apostrophe apostrophe now, apostrophe continued the knocker, let me beg you will exhibit no manifestations of surprise, which may be overheard by the domestics, when I tell you command your feelings of astonishment, that two inmates of this house intend to be married tomorrow morning. Apostrophe and he drew back his chair, several feet, to perceive the effect of the unlooked for announcement. If Tibbs had rushed from the room, staggered downstairs, and fainted in the passage, if he had instantaneously jumped out of the window into the mews behind the house, in an agony of surprise his behavior would have been much less inexplicable to Mr. Kelton than it was, when he put his hands into his inexpressible pockets, and said with a half chuckle, just so. Apostrophe, you are not surprised, Mr. Tibbs? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Kelton. Bless you, no, sir, apostrophe returned Tibbs. After all, it's very natural. When two young people get together, you know apostrophe, certainly, certainly, apostrophe said Kelton, with an indescribable air of self-satisfaction. You don't think it's at all an out-of-the-way affair then? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mr. Septimus Hicks, who had watched the countenance of Tibbs in mute astonishment. No, sir, apostrophe replied Tibbs, I was just the same at his age. Apostrophe he actually smiled when he said this. How devilish well I must carry my years. Apostrophe apostrophe thought the delighted old beau, knowing he was at least 10 years older than Tibbs at that moment. Well then, to come to the point at once, apostrophe he continued, I have to ask you, whether you will object to act as father on the occasion? Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe replied Tibbs, still without evincing an atom of surprise. You will not? Apostrophe apostrophe, decidedly not, apostrophe reiterated Tibbs, still as calm as a pot of porter with the head off. Mr. Kelton seized the hand of the petticoat-governed little man, and vowed eternal friendship from that hour. Hicks, who was all admiration and surprise, did the same. Now, confess, apostrophe asked Mr. Kelton of Tibbs, as he picked up his hat, were you not a little surprised? Apostrophe apostrophe, I believe you. Apostrophe apostrophe replied that illustrious person, holding up one hand. I believe you. When I first heard of it. Apostrophe, so sudden, apostrophe said Septimus Hicks. So strange to ask me, you know, apostrophe said Tibbs. So odd altogether. Apostrophe, apostrophe said the superannuated lovemaker, and then all three laughed. I say, apostrophe said Tibbs, shutting the door which he had previously opened, and giving full vent to a hitherto corked up giggle, what bothers me is, what will his father say? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Septimus Hicks looked at Mr. Kelton. Yes, but the best of it is, apostrophe said the latter, giggling in his turn, I haven't got a father, he. Apostrophe, you haven't got a father. No. But he has, apostrophe said Tibbs. Who has? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Septimus Hicks. Why, him. Apostrophe, him, who? Do you know my secret? Do you mean me? Apostrophe, you. No, you know who I mean, apostrophe returned Tibbs with a knowing wink. For heaven's sake, whom do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe inquired Mr. Kelton, who, like Septimus Hicks, was all but out of his senses at the strange confusion. Why, Mr. Simpson, of course, apostrophe, replied Tibbs. Who else could I mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I see it all, apostrophe, said the Byron quoter. Simpson marries Julia Mapleson tomorrow morning. Apostrophe, apostrophe, undoubtedly, apostrophe, replied Tibbs, thoroughly satisfied. Of course he does. Apostrophe, it would require the pencil of Hogarth to illustrate our feeble pen is inadequate to describe the expression which the countenances of Mr. Kelton and Mr. Septimus Hicks respectively assumed at this unexpected announcement. Equally impossible is it to describe, although perhaps it is easier for our lady readers to imagine, what arts the three ladies could have used, so completely to entangle their separate partners. Whatever they were, however, they were successful. The mother was perfectly aware of the intended marriage of both daughters, and the young ladies were equally acquainted with the intention of their estimable parent. They agreed, however, that it would have a much better appearance if each feigned ignorance of the other's engagement, and it was equally desirable that all the marriages should take place on the same day, to prevent the discovery of one clandestine alliance operating prejudicially on the others. Hence, the mystification of Mr. Kelton and Mr. Septimus Hicks, and the pre-engagement of the unwary Tibbs. On the following morning, Mr. Septimus Hicks was united to Miss Matilda Mapleson. Mr. Simpson also entered into a holy alliance with Miss Julia, Tibbs acting as father, his first appearance in that character. Apostrophe Mr. Kelton, not being quite so eager as the two young men, was rather struck by the double discovery, and as he had found some difficulty in getting anyone to give the lady away, it occurred to him that the best mode of obviating the inconvenience would be not to take her at all. The lady, however, appealed, apostrophe as her counsel said on the trial of the cause, Mapleson v. Kelton, for a breach of promise, with a broken heart, to the outraged laws of her country. Apostrophe she recovered damages to the amount of 1,000 L which the unfortunate knocker was compelled to pay. Mr. Septimus Hicks, having walked the hospitals, took it into his head to walk off altogether. His injured wife is at present residing with her mother at Bowlin. Mr. Simpson, having the misfortune to lose his wife 6 weeks after marriage by her eloping with an officer during his temporary sojourn in the Fleet Prison, in consequence of his inability to discharge her little mantua maker's bill, and being disinherited by his father, who died soon afterwards, was fortunate enough to obtain a permanent engagement at a fashionable haircutter's. Hairdressing being a science to which he had frequently directed his attention. In this situation he had necessarily many opportunities of making himself acquainted with the habits and style of thinking of the exclusive portion of the nobility of this kingdom. To this fortunate circumstance are we indebted for the production of those brilliant efforts of genius, his fashionable novels, which so long as good taste, unsullied by exaggeration, cant, and quackery, continues to exist, cannot fail to instruct and amuse the thinking portion of the community. It only remains to add that this complication of disorders completely deprived poor Mrs. Tibbs of all her inmates, except the one whom she could have best spared her husband. That wretched little man returned home, on the day of the wedding, in a state of partial intoxication, and, under the influence of wine, excitement, and despair, actually dared to brave the anger of his wife. Since that ill-fated hour he has constantly taken his meals in the kitchen, to which apartment, it is understood, his witticisms will be in future confined. A turn-up bedstead, having been conveyed there by Mrs. Tibbs' order for his exclusive accommodation, it is possible that he will be enabled to finish, in that seclusion, his story of the volunteers. The advertisement has again appeared in the morning papers. Results must be reserved for another chapter. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.